Welcome to the Small Business Report. I'm Gordon Deal. We examine things like habits of entrepreneurs, emerging trends, financing, marketing, where to get help, even how to get started on your own. And I like hearing from small business owners and employees. Let's talk about your business. Send me an email at gdeal@compassmedianetworks.com. That's gdeal@compassmedianetworks.com. Today's stories, the measure of employee happiness among big and small businesses, and how to launch your entrepreneurial venture with little or no money. Those stories after this. You don't often find the words business and friendly in the same sentence, let alone the same state, unless, of course, you're talking about Michigan. Michigan's business-friendly practices help to become a leader in industries that range from agribusiness and cybersecurity to aerospace and defense. In fact, Michigan is ranked among the top 10 states for major new and expanded facilities, which makes Michigan more than business-friendly. It makes Michigan business smart. To learn more, visit michiganbusiness.org, because helping business grow is pure Michigan. Employment is up, right? Wages are finally rising. Layoffs are near record lows, resulting in more optimistic and contented workers. But what about worker happiness? It's different these days. Here's Wall Street Journal reporter Lauren Weber. Lauren, what's going on here?
What I think is going on here is that the recession just reset expectations for a lot of people. So whereas we once expected certain things from a job, our expectations are much lower now. And I think that makes it easier for people to feel good about where they're at.
Interesting. So we've sort of changed the definition of what it means to feel good about a job, or lowered the bar, perhaps?
I would say lowered the bar. You know, when my parents were working in the 70s and 80s, there was a real expectation that you were going to get a pension. Your health care would be, you'd be have an excellent health care plan. It would probably be fully paid by your employer. You wouldn't be paying a premium. Now, those kinds of, you know, basic elements of a job, things like job security, thinking about your retirement, thinking about having protection from some of the ups and downs that any kind of a life will bring, you know, what we now think that our employer is going to offer to us is very different. In exchange, we've gotten some other things back. You know, I think it's possible to say that more people are doing interesting kinds of work today. A lot of people have flexibility on their jobs, which wasn't necessarily available decades ago. So, you know, there are trade-offs.
All right. I was intrigued by a comment that somebody in the story made about how the employee-employer relationship has eroded so much. What was his point with regards to, say, millennials today?
Yeah, again, I think that has to do with that idea of the expectations. And this is an author named Rick Wortsman who just wrote a book called The End of Loyalty, which looks at how we think of a good job and how that's changed a lot over time. And to him, the pillars of a good job were typically job security, retirement, health care, and wages. And all of those things have sort of declined in a very real sense. You know, layoffs used to be very, very uncommon and only used in an emergency situation. And, you know, starting in the 80s and 90s, they became something that companies used when there was a bump in demand, or, you know, they started relying more on a contingent workforce, temps and contract workers. Maybe that meant they didn't have to do so many layoffs because they had these workers they could very easily and quickly move around rather than laying off their core staff. So those kinds of things, you know, the loyalty you expect from your employer in exchange for you giving them your loyalty. You know, there are a lot of arguments that workers themselves are also less loyal. And I think, yeah, you know, it's hard to disentangle where that came from, but clearly there's a dynamic there.
Thanks, Lauren. Wall Street Journal reporter Lauren Weber. And how to start a business with little or no money. Tips from USA Today. In short, reduce your expenses or increase your available capital. Some ideas. Low-cost alternatives, depending on your business. Instead of renting office space, try working from home, or use shared workspaces from companies like WeWork. If you're considering consulting a lawyer, you can find freelance lawyers on Moonlighting, the on-demand marketplace. The site also offers a free tool for proposals, invoicing, and payments. Also, since marketing to new clients can be pricey, check out the freelance advertising solution called Boost. In terms of increasing your available capital, crowdfunding options like Moonlighting's solution through Moonshot Stories let you raise funds with only a simple, small, flat fee that's only assessed on funds raised. Also, sell your services might include a business like mobile auto detailing, dog walking or pet sitting, fact-checking and research, bookkeeping, maybe property manager, tutoring or coaching, blog writing, or even social media management. Reminder, by the way, the Small Business Report can be found on our website, which is thismorningwithgordondeal.com. That's also where you can hear our daily news program called This Morning, America's First News. Also, again, if you'd like to share your small business story, I'd like to hear it. You can email me at gdeal@compassmedianetworks.com. That's gdeal@compassmedianetworks.com. Thanks for listening to the Small Business Report. I'm Gordon Deal.